May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord.
Amen.
I want to thank Ches for that portrayal for all of us through the children's message of family. That's what God is. He's a family man. And he was the one who instituted family on earth as well as expanded that family to an eternal family that will one day live with him for an eternity in heaven. I was really excited when Pastor Greg sent me what your series is. In fact, I was a little jealous that I can't be with you through all of them. I mean, looking for Jesus in the Old Testament is one of my favorite things to do. And last week, you had the opportunity to look at that first promise of a Savior immediately after man fell into sin. Boom, here's the promise. Talking to the Satan, I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, between her seed, your seed, plural, and her singular, and he will crush your head. And in the process, you will bruise his heel. That's a little cryptic all by itself, but it's the promise that drives everything you're going to be looking at starting today and into the rest of this series. It's what motivates and keeps God working intently and tirelessly toward the end of fulfilling that promise. That's why I decided the theme for today would be promises given and kept. Promises made and kept. I don't know about you, but promises are kind of a slippery thing in the world we live in today. At least they have been to me. And they are when I make them as well. And rightfully so, because it's not easy to keep our promises all the time. It's a wait and see proposition, isn't it? Promise again? Well, we'll see. Broken promises break things, don't they? Have you ever had a heart broken because of a broken promise? I know I have. I would always be taught that an engagement was a promise. And when that was broken, it broke my heart. It was one of the things that hardest to go through. And yet, that isn't anything compared to the promises made at an altar. And when they're broken, it breaks people, it fractures families, it creates a lot of pain and suffering in the lives of parents and children, husbands and wives. Broken promises always break things. Even the ones we give with the greatest intent. Sometimes we give them because out of desire we want what we're promising to be in our control. I always cringe at those movies or those shows when a parent holds a child and says, "I will never let anything happen to you." It's like a doctor saying, "I will heal you." The best that can be said is, "I will do everything in my power, everything that I can to keep you from being hurt. I, as a doctor, will do everything in my power to bring healing, but I'm not the healer." The thing about it is, we make promises sometimes when we think we have the resources, the ability to keep those promises. It might be something as simple as promising a child something they want, but we don't have control over the circumstances in our lives. Our financial resources can be taken away in a moment, and maybe we have to say to that child, "I wanted to give you that, but now I'm not going to be able to." That's the world we live in. That's a fallen world where promises are given, but not always kept. On the other hand, what we have in Scripture, starting with last week, and I want to go back there a little bit, because I think it's important to take that first promise that I quoted a moment ago and pull that with us through the whole series, starting today with the promise made to Abram. Actually, it was a reaffirming of the promise made to Abram. But if you think about it, that first promise was as good as kept as soon as it was given. In fact, that's the way it is with all God's promises. If He makes a promise, it's kept. There's going to be no changing that promise and the fulfillment of it. For an example of that, I want you to look with me. I'm going to try this out on you. I'm not going to have you go to the Scriptures. I just want you to listen to these words from Isaiah the prophet in regard to fulfillment of all of God's promises. The first one we're going to look at is in Isaiah 9, chapter 6. Now, I always used to get a little frustrated when I listened to or read the prophets. Sometimes they were really confusing. And it had to do with keeping track of the tenses. I learned that when I finally learned English at seminary. You can laugh at that. But really, to learn any language, you got to know the English language first, how it works, because that's what we translate into. And I was amazed when the professor explained about these tenses in Isaiah. And if you listen in verse 6, remember the tense is past, present, or future. For to us a child is born, a son is given. Listen to that. When was this written? 700 years before this son would ever come to be. And he's telling the prophet to tell the people of Israel that to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be, oh, future tense, on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And then we go yet to another passage in Isaiah. It's further on. And this is as familiar as the one we just read. Surely he, that is that Messiah, that Savior, took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. When? That's past tense, right? Now that's really confusing. It's 700 years before Jesus, and yet it's as if it's already done. Yet he considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought him peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are right now, today, healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The only thing that can make sense of this here, folks, is that this is written by man who has been inspired by a God who's above time and space. It can't contain him. You've heard it said that this word is made up by men. Man can't make this up. Man doesn't have the ability. In fact, It's so far beyond us. Only God could make this happen. And so you go back to the promise of last week that he would send a Savior. Adam and Eve believing in that promise was believing in the fulfillment of that promise, because it was already kept in Jesus Christ, who from the foundations of the earth was already laid the plan that God would accomplish. That's what's exciting about this. When we think about, and I've had, I love teaching confirmation because they have helped me grow. Because they always ask the tough questions. How was Adam and Eve saved? First time I got asked that, I had to think about it. And then I had to study it. And guess what? The same way that we're saved. By the same fulfillment. Because it was already done. If they believed in the promise of God, then they were saved by the fulfillment of that promise. And it's the same for all through the Old Testament. Some say you don't need the Old Testament. And I would say the Holy Spirit can use just the New Testament to save people, but the whole story is what we need to help people understand how mighty God is to save. Past, present, and future. Now you're going, why didn't Pastor Greg give you the text for today to preach on? Well, he did. And that's what we're going to look at. See, we're going to be able to zero in on all these places throughout this series. But it all is being motivated, it's being pushed. A lot of water has gone under the bridge since that first good news promise. The people became so corrupt, he sent a flood to destroy, and yet in grace and because of his promise, Noah and his family were allowed to live. They were able to multiply and fill the earth again. And yes, man was again in his pride trying to be God, building a tower to go up to him, because we can do it. And because of their foolishness, God kept his promise alive. He scattered them around the world through different languages. And that brings us to the laser focus of God working out his plan of salvation through one that he chose. And he had already told him when he chose him that he would make him into a great nation. He would have many descendants. He would show them a land that would be their own. And many years down the road is our text, and we zero in on that text today. And he had this promise. But was the promise that Abram had from his call, was the promise that Abram had enough for him? Not quite. He had come to a place of despair, as we heard in our reading today. He had come to a place where he'd given up. What can you give me, O Lord? I have no children. He had given up to the point where he'd figured out the heir that was going to take over. By the way, that heir could be adopted into his family. A head servant could be adopted into the family and end up being the heir of everything he has. And he had already thought about it, and that's what he came to. He had given up. And so, no, it wasn't enough. And yet, in verse 6 of the text today, it says very abruptly, very cleanly, that Abram believed, and it was what? Credited to him as righteousness. Now, what created that faith is the same thing that moved him to follow God's call to come. What created that faith was the Holy Spirit working in him to say, you know, you brought me this far, I guess See, he believed in what God could do. He finally took his eyes off what he might be able to do, and he put them on God for a short time. Because even after, by the way, the difference between faith and righteousness is what was credited to him in faith was the righteousness of God, not his own. We know that because of what happens in between this lesson and the other half of our lesson. By the way, I'm not going to preach on the whole thing because he read a lot of scripture. I can't do it. But here's the good news. The good news is, even when he had doubts, even when Sarai comes to him and says, look at us, we can't have a child, take Hagar. He gives in and he says, oh, that's not a bad idea. I can't imagine what that conversation went like. But we do know how it ended. Did God give up on his good news in the garden? Did he give up on the covenant that he had already made with Abram, that he'd make him a great nation, that he would give him the land, that he would, more important than any other part of the promise, is that he would become a blessing to all the nations? So again, you have to say, no, it wasn't enough. And yet he was still in a relationship of faith with God. And God comes to him again. He doesn't give up. He is the faithful one. He comes to him again and he reiterates everything. Even after we try to take things into our hands, is the promises of God enough for us? That's where the question comes for us today. Is the promises of God enough when we're going through terrible things in our life, when we're going through a loved one's sickness, when we're going through someone who is close to us and we love having passed away, when we're going through many divisions in our society and in our culture, in our families? Is the promises of God enough when we take things into our own hands? And the answer to that is actually yes. But not all the time. We still try to do it on our own, don't we? We still try to manipulate what the outcome is going to be. We still try to reach for that low-hanging fruit that the world offers and promises. And maybe we even feel entitled to. And yet, the promises of God are much bigger. We have an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. That's kept in heaven. But in the meantime, we are like our Father. You see, because in the promise, as Chez laid out so nicely, there wasn't just one sun. He had him look at the stars, right? And one of those stars was Isaac, but there was another star, often referred to in the Bible as the bright morning star. And that star would be another son, the son of God and man, the seed of Abraham and God. What was it that led people to the birthplace? A star. And that star led all people to the birthplace of the one who would make it possible for all of us to be part of this family. I want to take your attention to Hebrews chapter 1. Faith, the faith that we have in our father Abraham, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. And then in verse 11, here's where we get tied into it. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled able to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Notice, who was faithful? God was faithful. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That's you and me. Now today, what does God consider us? People who believe. Yes. Fallen people like Abram, that he is patient with, that he continues to remind us. And by the way, in this text, he gave them a mark, the mark of circumcision, that would be a mark that reminded them through the generations of people. He has marked us in the same way through something different, and that's holy baptism. As Paul would say to the Romans, it was not the cutting away of flesh, but the cutting away of sin from our hearts. He put the mark on us to remind us that in spite of ourselves, He is a God of patience. He uses us today. He reminds us of who we are. Children of God. Through how He worked in Abraham in the covenant. But He also reminds us of why we're here. Can you figure it out? Who did Jesus die for? I often wondered as a kid, back in the Star Trek days, when I became a believer, why didn't he just say, "Beam me up, Peter"? Well, because he saw this day where I would be privileged to proclaim the word to you. He still has you here today because He has so many people that are not of this sheep pen yet. He has so many people that don't know that they too are children of Abraham through the covenant and the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. One little slice today, you're going to have a lot more of them coming. But make sure you bring that first promise along, because it all ties together. In Jesus' name, and by His grace, we believe, and He has credited to us as righteousness. Amen.